stop yelling at your wife, stop looking at pornography, and actually understand why Jesus died for you, sir.
How do you encourage young men, young fathers, to take the primary role of education in their family? Like, it's kind of exhausting, you know, like today's world, like I have to go to work, I have to get up, I have to take care of my wife, you know, I have to do all these things, but we can't neglect our children, you know, and the role of being the primary educators in the family. So what kind of advice or encouragement would you give young modern guys who are just trying their best to teach the Word of God, to teach them, to cultivate virtues, to strive for holiness in the family?
Yeah. This is a great question and an essential question if we don't want our children to go down the sewer pipe, the hell hole to misery and bondage in our country. We got to teach our kids the fundamental principles of Christianity. Noah Webster, a founding father and father of American education, said that our future success, liberty, prosperity, and growth depends on teaching our children these things. And who better to do that than the two people who love their children the most, moms and dads. Gender roles are so confusing today, with men giving birth and the wrong sex competing in sports, and people are wondering what's going on. So thank God for Matt Walsh and his movies like Am I Racist and What is a Woman? Men have felt marginalized most recently in culture as they're told, you're not part of the pro-life, pro-choice debate because you don't have a uterus. Men are marginalized because of alleged toxic masculinity. And that's actually a great ploy of the devil. If you want to go after and take out a community, just castrate all the men, right? Tie them up, throw them in a corner, and put duct tape over their mouth. That's why I'm excited about being here tonight. Matt Walsh, Michael Knowles, and others are outspoken, standing up and standing in for the next generation by advocating for Christian education. And fathers, I believe, not only can we get them a good Christian education, not only can we teach them the catechism, not only can we do these things, more than all of that, stop yelling at your wife, stop looking at pornography, and actually understand why Jesus died for you, sir, dad, mom. Let's keep the girls out of it. Kirk, you have turned your heart from God, and there is one way home, and it is through the sacrifice and obedience of Jesus Christ. So come by faith on your knees, repent, and put your faith in the Lord, and then actually treasure God and His Word in your heart and live the example so that your children will just say, I know what to do. I get it. You know what? It wasn't something I memorized in a CDC class or in an Awana Bible memorization class. I just think, what would my dad have done? This is what he would have done. That's the best education you can do to lead in spiritual formation in your kids.
I love that because I really do think that really education, when you talk about education, a lot of people think, oh, well, math, science, all these things, which are all great. I want my kids to know all of that stuff, right? But I want them to go to heaven. That's the main, like, I actually don't care if they can go to Harvard. I want them to go to heaven, right? And so education is not necessarily just about scholastics, which is important, but it's about teaching them a prayer life, teaching them virtue. How do we do that? Like, what's some practical ways? Like, what's been successful for you?
Well, you said it. I love how C.S. Lewis put it. He said that education without values tends to make man only a more clever devil. Practically speaking, my wife and I have three sort of golden keys to good parenting that we learn from others who've gone before us. And number one, strive to be the kind of person you want your children to become. Just be that guy, right? It's hard to make ice cream in an oven, and it's very difficult to get your children to be gentle and kind when you're yelling at your wife and your kids because you've lost your patience. So strive to be the kind of person you want your children to become. Number two, maintain relationships with them. everything is done within relationships. All the one another's in the scriptures. Love one another. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another. Bear one another's burdens. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. All this, even loving God with all of your heart, it's all in the context of relationship. And so if you break relationship with your children, you've lost the battle. Because now they've iced you out and they don't listen to you anymore. Why? Because we don't even have a relationship anymore. I don't care how right you are. It's been said, I don't care what you know until I know that you care. And kids know whether we're in it just because they're biologically related or we're in it because we actually care for them and love them and like them. And we got to make sure they know that. And then thirdly, point them to the Word of God. That is my plumb line for truth. You know, whenever Jesus was tempted by the devil, well, if you're really the Son of God, if you're really who you say you are, you're questioning his identity, Jesus answered by saying, it is written, bam, 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 bam. It is written, this, this, this. And so I know that God's truth is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. It opens my eyes. It softens my heart, fills me with gratitude. And if I can point my kids to that as their source of identity, not the rainbow religion or the purple hair platoon or the LGBTQIADEI 10 commandments, then they will actually know how to interpret the world in a way that fits with reality and leads them to blessing.
Yeah. Do you feel like that there's a lack of like male friendship, authentic like friendship within one another to for guys to able to have a real conversation? I'm not talking about like what the weather's like, what the ball game is like, but have real meaningful conversations together.
I think men are starving for real authentic relationship. And you know, straight guys are like, "Hey, I don't want to look gay," right? They're like, we're not like girls. We don't like huddle up in groups of 10 and go to the bathroom together. Maybe some guys do, but that's not us. But we are relational beings. It's not good for man to be alone. So we want to be in relationship with each other. We want to have friends, family. And we need to recapture that and understand that a band of brothers, a family of faith, means we've got to have authentic relationships where we can trust one another. How can I forgive you if I don't know what you're struggling with? If you're not confessing your sins one to another with other guys, how can I be of assistance to you and give you a safe place for dangerous conversations? So I'm very thankful for groups of guys that will get together, whether it's in the context of a church group or a family group or a community group, and just provide that place where guys know that they are valued, they're needed, and they're not alone.
I feel like that there's a sense of hope that's kind of brewing right now with the younger generation, with kind of the cultural shift that's kind of hopefully happening, you know, right? What's the importance of, as Christians, to be hopeful, to be joyful in today's culture?
I think it's very important for men, Christian men, to be joyful and to be grateful. The joy of the Lord is your strength, the scriptures say. And so if the forces of evil can steal your joy, they have sapped your strength. And now you're like Samson with his hair cut off. You're weak now. And that can come when you and your wife are estranged. Your joy can be gone when you're out of step and out of joint with your children or with your brothers and your sisters. And so that's why God says be at peace with all men as far as it is possible with you. Count it joy whenever you enter into trials and challenges, because that's the training ground where God is developing hope and character and strength and faith in you. We can't lose our joy or gratitude, because gratitude is the attitude that determines the altitude for living.
I like that. That's great. Man, I really appreciate all that you've done, your witness, and being able to stand up in the culture today. I appreciate it. It's great to have you here.
Appreciate you.
It's great to meet you.
Thanks.